Welcome to the Juneteenth broadcast of the Sports Attack, Sports and Comedy Attack, here on EnlightenRadio.org with our original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, is here. We're glad he's here. I'm going to start right away by saying it's been an interesting couple days in sports. Bob Huggins, the long-term basketball coach of West Virginia University, has resigned.
Holy what happened, Mike?
He's had some issues with alcohol, and he's had some racially disparaging comments, and he got in a little bit of trouble that he had apologized for, and then he was pulled over somewhere near Pittsburgh for another DUI. This is his third one, so.
Yeah, right.
1, 2, 3 strikes, you are out, pal. So who knows what I think probably WVU might be looking for a much younger coach.
I might suggest Michael Diesel.
No.
Cucurini.
No.
As coach.
No. I am not at that level, my friend. No. I hope the guy gets help. That's all.
Sure.
He
was pretty successful, wasn't he?
He hasn't won the national championship, but he's been close with a lot of his teams, and there's some players that have gone on to play in the NBA, and that's great, but the reality is you can't fall apart like that. If you're you got to be careful, depending upon how much you are in the public eye, you got to just watch your P's and Q's, and he apparently does not do that. So I wish him luck in getting healthier is I guess what I'm saying. And for the first time in a very, very, very long time, the Boston Red Sox have swept the New York Yankees in a three-game series that involved two games yesterday in which the Boston Red Sox won both. Now, something to be pointed out is Boston fans are already saying, do not get happy because when Aaron Judge comes back from the from his toe injury, we're going to get our ass kicked. And he basically has shown statistically, if Aaron Judge is in the lineup, I think the New York Yankees probably have like a 70% chance of winning against anybody because he is that kind of impact player. The guy hits home runs. Yeah. He hits home runs and he plays the outfield really well. He's a very tall guy. For people who have questions about our guy, James Wood, who's our young guy, who's probably going to come up after the All-Star break, don't have any more questions. Just relax. Because when you watch Aaron Judge or their other power hitter, Giancarlo Stanton, run the base path, it's not that they're slow. It's that they're absorbing so much space when they take one step.
I see. Okay. Right.
I mean, they just take like 3 steps, 4 steps, and they're at first base. These are guys that are over 6'5".
So this Aaron Judge, is this like having, you know, Mantle, Maris, and Yogi Berra on the lineup?
Yeah. In their lineup it is. I mean, they just made some mistakes. They're a very, they're in the top 10 of team payrolls, but so are the Mets. The Mets are number one in payroll, and they getting their bang for their buck. They, Max Scherzer's had some problems. Justin Verlander's had some problems. Both guys got some age on them. And in that league, there's a youth movement, and you're not going to slow it down anytime soon. Yeah, there's some really good young baseball players that are out there in the minor system. Some of them are in college. We're looking at the college World Series. Unfortunately, the UVA team lost to TCU. They had a shot in the bottom of the ninth to win that game, and they just couldn't hit the pitcher. The pitcher closed them out. So it ended up being, I think, 5-4 or 4-3 or so. It was a very close game. All those games are very close game. Even if you step back and take a mile-eye view of Major League Baseball, both in the American League and the National League, there's a lot of parity, man. The teams that are bad are really bad. Like, the Oakland A's could give a shit whether they win tomorrow. They just don't care because they're leaving. They're not going to be in Oakland anymore. They're going to Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, a new stadium is being – I think it got turned down, but somebody else is financing it. It's going to be built for the – it's going to be the Las Vegas A's.
So if the Oakland A's, why are they?
The facility is a piece of crap.
The one
they're in. It's like there's like opossums living in their ceilings and rats, and it's just nasty. Nobody's restructured it or rebuilt it or whatever. And, you know, the thing is I see that there's some interest in renovating RFK. And actually, for my money, I think that would be the Commander's best option in terms of getting their fan base back in D.C. Because right. I will say the XFL stole a lot of your fans. I can tell you that right now, simply because they were owned by Dan Snyder. And people said, no.
Yeah, right.
No. People, I mean, I know somebody, I'm not going to mention his name quite personally, that said, I'm not renewing my season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this was a while ago, but now you may see an influx of, you know, because people are curious. There's a little bit of optimism. There's a big deal that went down in the NBA that nobody saw coming. And I didn't see it coming. That doesn't mean nobody saw it coming, but the Washington Wizards, the basketball team, has a new general manager.
Right.
And assistant general manager, and I think they're going to have a new head coach. I don't know for sure, but they traded Bradley Beal, who has been an institution and was given a very expensive long-term contract. And I think the general manager probably felt like, well, we can't justify paying you that much money, so we're going to have to send. And now you've got three guys that are playing on the Phoenix Suns that are really dominant scorers. So the Suns look to be coming out of the West, probably next year's preseason pick to win the West. But who knows? I mean, Christ, I don't think anybody right. had the Miami Heat going all the way to the finals this year, but they did. They lost, but they made it to the finals.
Wow.
And the Wizards are probably going to get Chris Paul, but these are – I don't know if it's a – I'm going to get you to trade you somewhere else, because I don't think – I don't know. I love Chris Paul. He's been a – institution in the NBA. He's a class guy. However, he's got a lot of age on him. He's been beat up a lot. I think he's almost 40 years old. You know, LeBron, look at LeBron, one of the most elite athletes in the world, and he was often injured this past year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing for 20 years, man.
Well, that'll probably do it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, John, is if you really consider how many years LeBron James has been involved in playoffs and championships.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine he's probably played more basketball than anybody on the planet. You know,
because a lot Cavaliers. Of extra games. Sure, yeah.
He went to Miami. He went from Miami back to the Cavaliers. As soon as he did, they won. He turned around and said, okay, I've done my duty here. I brought another championship to Cleveland. I'm going to L.A. My wife wants to go to L.A. I'm going to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to L.A. and they won. They won in the bubble. They called it the bubble. Remember that? They had all the teams playing on two different courts, and all the guys were staying in all these extended stays down south.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't have much of an audience. It was just family members when they were all masked up.
Right.
So
right.
You know, they ended up winning the championship in that year. But then this past year, I mean, they went farther in the playoffs than I didn't even think they were going to make the playoffs.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of like the old Jim Mora press conference. Playoffs? Playoffs? We couldn't do diddly poo.
Diddling poo. That's not much.
Diddly poo. No, he said diddly poo.
Diddly poo.
And I always, we couldn't do diddly poo. It was very reminiscent of like Earl Weaver or the first coach of the Tampa Bay team when they were Orangesicles. When their team was like an orange sickle color, I think it was McKay from USC. They hired him to come in, and he's so funny because he just makes people laugh. How do you feel about your team's execution? I'm all for it. Well, how do you think your team did today? Well, we didn't block anybody, but we made up for it by not tackling anybody. So that was good.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and you can't help but think the kind of smartassness of that kind of came from Earl Weaver.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the old Baltimore skipper who took the Orioles to the World Series. It's kind of amazing when you think about the vulgarity in his language and how he got away with that for years. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Well, I mean,
I did want to mention that there is an, you do have influence over young people. If you're in the NBA, if you're in the NFL, even the XFL, the only way you build a following is making sure that you appear on young people's screens, whether that be via Zoom or via the phone or whatever. You've got to develop that fan base, and you've got to get the likes and the clicks. And I think that's becoming sometimes I think it's becoming a little bit out of control. And the reason why I say that is you can evaluate, you know, the old school scouts in baseball had their time to evaluate ball players and say, okay, I can see where this guy would fit on a roster. You know, this guy's a really good hitter. He's, you know, got some speed. He plays the outfield well. He's also playing the infield. So that they would call, okay, that guy's a utility player. Something along those lines. Well,
right.
The other night, the Chicago White Sox were in Seattle, and they brought this kid up from AAA. He had played like over 600 games in AAA. He tore Seattle up. He was, I think, 4 for 4. He almost hit for the cycle, and it was his first time in a White Sox uniform. He's a total rookie, you know, just being brought up from the minors.
Right.
And he made a big impact. He's not a huge guy. He's not an Aaron Judge. He's not a Giancarlo. He's not big and muscular. He's just lean and mean. You know, he probably knows, hey, this is my chance. And Joey Meneses, we got one of those guys. I don't know how in our organization, and I mean the Nationals and all the way down their tiers of different leagues, different minor league ball players, Joey Meneses got lost in the mix for 10 years. This guy was in the minors for 10 years, and he came up and just knew that he had to help the team any way he could. And I think that's what I like about this Nationals iteration. They're not winning. Of course, they're probably in last place. But one of the cool things is if you watch these guys, they play together and for each other, and they play hard for Davey Martinez. They're not the most talented guys. You're talking right. about a couple guys out there that are mid-rangers that probably wouldn't even – they'd be utility players on any other team. But you got to have – you got to dance with the one you got is what I'm saying.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
So and the ownership issue, I hope it solves itself because you still got Angelos over there in Baltimore just, you know, holding steady on, you know, making sure the Nats don't get a lot of popularity.
So. Now he's the coach of owner of.
No, he's the owner. He's the owner of the Baltimore Orioles. His son is a little. I guess he's a little bit more reasonable. I like both guys because they're union guys. They're union lawyers. They're advocates for union, and I like that. I respect that. I get it. But they can be really nasty if you're going up against them, man. I wouldn't want to be going up against the Angels.
Interesting.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Because they know the legal. And Baltimore's having a good season. For the first time in about five
yeah,
years,
I've heard
those
they
Orioles
are, yeah.
they're in second place. You know?
Well,
if it wasn't for the Rays in Tampa, Jesus, why am I even saying that? You know, you'll look and see a Tampa game, and it's like half full. You know, you always look at all the other stadiums, it's like Tampa – for some reason, and the Marlins, for some reason, are like in their stadiums like half full.
And why is that?
And they're both really good baseball teams.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think that there's so much entertainment and sports in the state of Florida, it's really hard to pick and choose.
So too many teams, maybe?
That,
for the
that
population?
That might be the case. We'll see. I know that the Rays have started to solidify their fan base a little bit more, and they do have people coming out and supporting people like Dick Vitale, who's been a NCAA basketball announcer for 40, 50 years. He lives in Tampa, and he is a huge Tampa Bay fan, both for football, for the Buccaneers, and for the Rays. So they used to be the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, but they changed that to just the Tampa Rays.
Well, and you probably can't have the Trump people. Oh, no, excuse me, the right. Christian nationalist Trump people They you can't have devil in the name. No.
Well, we got to take that devil out the name there, son.
You can't do that. That's not going to
happen. I'm not going to support Beelzebub. What the hell's wrong with you, boy?
I am Beelzebub. What the hell?
I don't have to support it. And now we're right back to Al Pacino. That was perfect. We came full circle in this conversation, John. See that?
Yeah, Al Pacino. I know. It's been.
What's in a name, Daddy? I have so many names.
Yeah, I know. Pacino's. You know, I always thought that Al was a great actor, but that he hammed it up a little too much sometimes. Did you think that? I mean, am I crazy?
Yeah, I think you're crazy. Yeah. I don't think he hammed it up too much. I think what they do is they talk about what they want in the shot. Okay, you can see the director off screen with the cameras focusing in on somebody like Al and saying, okay, we know what the dialogue is here, but I need you to sell that dialogue as this flamboyant character that's been around for a millennia, and I need you to be frustrated because you see you're Beelzebub, you're the fallen angel. You know what's going on in heaven, or what was going on in heaven when you were cast out.
Yeah.
Let's dig into that relationship type thing more.
Uh huh.
And talk about a guy with daddy issues.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Gotcha. No, I hear you. Yeah. Yeah.
The only other guy that's got worse daddy issues is that idiot that has that stupid hay on his head that's dyed orange. Yeah, that guy's got some serious daddy issues.
Who's that?
Our former president, 45.
Oh, him. Oh.
Convict 45.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know. I'm trying to.
So yeah, and the other thing.
Live through the headlines.
We like good stories of celebration in sports. I think is more. You know, we see. Sometimes you see some of these parents getting way too into games and such and screaming at the managers and the umpires. And, you know, I understand that. I was a big, when I was living elsewhere, I was a big supporter of my nephew and his playing ball at a young age and he was an exceptional athlete and played extremely well. He's still a great athlete. He's just a dad now. So happy Father's Day, Charlie.
Happy Father's Day, Charlie.
Yeah, he's doing great. Well,
speaking of that, yesterday, so my grandson was at I think it was a baseball game for kids, okay? And my daughter had taken him there. He's been learning to play. Usually his dad takes him there, but Angela took him there yesterday. And she was appalled at the vicious... Maybe that was what she used the word. The very aggressive competitiveness of the parents on the sidelines, you know, screaming at the umps if they caught a bad thing, you know, yelling at their kids, you know. Mm. I mean, while they're on the field, it was.
my older brother Tom coached in the high school, helped as an assistant coach in the high school league when his daughter was coming up through. And he was coaching, and now he's an umpire. And boy, oh boy, man, I would not want to be. But he volunteers his time to help out the community. And God bless him for that. I think that's terrific.
Someone's got to be the ump, otherwise the game will be stopped in the first inning.
Well, he commands a little bit more respect because he came from coaching, and a lot of the coaches know him.
Right. So
they're going to be aware of his strike zone,
right?
You know, they're going to be aware of what he, you know, what his strengths and weaknesses. Everybody comes to the table with strengths and weaknesses. I don't know, though. I think my brother's probably a really good ump.
Right.
You know, because he's always been like an advocate for the players. So that's.
But it also depends a little bit on your eyesight, right? Like if I was the ump,
let's just say if you tried out. to be an ump, I'm pretty sure somebody would slam the screen door in your face.
Yeah, that's right. What pitch?
Now, since I didn't see a pitch. That, besides you and me, you need to tell them the story of what happened now.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, tell them the story, John. Drop it like it's hot, baby. Let's let's pull the scab off of the. Let's go.
I didn't see any pitch at all.
No, I had a head wound.
Anyway, yeah.
John has notoriously not so great eyesight, and a lot of folks are in that category. And I felt so bad because I called him and see how he was the other day, and he was like, I just walked through the screen door. I don't know what happened. I didn't see it.
I did. That's true.
Hey, look, man. I went from my bedroom to this office, and all I remember is waking up on the floor in the bedroom. I don't know what happened. I just fell. I passed out. And that scared the stuff. I can't even say it.
It did.
Trying to keep my...
I know, we're trying to keep it for the six-year-olds here.
Yeah, but it was not fun. There was no good
that
time.
That happened to me once, and right in the middle of Starbucks, you know, and I was with Carol, and something happened. I just fell completely over. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the onset of the diabetes. I don't know what, you know, whatever. It was a long time ago. Anyway, yeah. I woke up, and the emergency people were there trying to, hey, you know, you... Why don't you come in and let us take a look at you? I said, yeah, no. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, I start to get up and I say, well, maybe
I feel so maybe good. My head is floating. Oh, my God. What is that, a mountain? I'm floating. Right. Yeah, I know that feeling. I know that. Donk.
They never did Where tell me what was wrong. They thought maybe I was dehydrated or something. But
that might have been it, man. That's all it takes.
Right. So.
That's all it takes to, you know, to mess with your equilibrium. Bad ears, bad sinuses.
I had gone running that morning. Okay, I had, but it was later in the afternoon. I've been around. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's God talking to me, telling me it's time to take a break.
John, I have spoken. Yeah.
I see all kinds of people.
I'm trying to put some things together for this week. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but we'll see.
Part of interviews, you mean?
I'm trying to find somebody for a Wednesday or Thursday this week. And it's right. Tough because today's a holiday. So you got people going, you know, I mean, I think some folks are working because you now have that selective holiday
right.
category in working. You can either select to opt in or opt out. So if you take this day and work, you can shift that to an additional day, say over Thanksgiving or Christmas or Kwanzaa or whatever you're.
You mean like
like
a comp day or what do they call it?
Yeah. That's how these, which is not what I think the statute calls for. It's supposed to be a mandatory holiday. So
there are all these employers, especially in the government, I'm told. Although it varies by department, where they'll ask you to come in and you got to work a whole bunch of extra hours to meet some deadline, right? And they say, you'll get comp time later. But half the time, you never get it. Because the managers don't have the authority sometimes to schedule time off. I mean, they have to go all the way up the ladder to get approval to have somebody to, you know. Everybody hates that.
That's why I think my wife's going to send out those invitations. We're going to look what's the easiest day of the November 5th week coming up to say, you know, God, I can't believe this is going to be recorded, but I will be 60 on November 5th.
Hopefully that's a black balloon day.
Oh, shut up.
That's what happened to me, pal. You know, my sister sent me 60 black balloons.
Oh, well, like John, her heart was in the right place. What a wonderful gift. Gosh, I can't think of nothing better. Was there like spiders inside of the balloons or?
I think it was her husband's idea. I think it was her husband's idea because he was like a year or two older than me. And I had sent him. I can't even remember. I don't even remember what I sent him. I sent something that was mildly insulting about having to hit 60. And so it was the following 2 years later, I was 60. And so that my sister, but I think it was him.
Of course it was. I've got an idea.
Anyway.
It's a lovely gift. Thank you. Hold on a second. Let me slam my head against the wall. Hold on.
Yeah, right, you know. But, yeah, well, that's worthy. That's a good celebration to have there, Mike. 60, yeah, right? I think, you know.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is just try to make it more like a family day. Instead of, like, we may have a few select people invited to the after party, in the evening where we have, sit down and have cake and ice cream and have a couple of drinks and possibly some adult beverages and various other things. And we're going to have music, that's for sure.
Well, lots of talent.
A day without music is not a good day. Not a good day at all. I like a day every day with music, man.
Well, plus you got a lot of native talent here in Shepherdstown. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's singers and. Do you know Lisa Lafferty?
I have heard the name.
She's she and her husband teach music, I think, but she's a pretty interesting jazz singer, actually. So,
well, I think I may have just saw her husband, who's in phenomenal shape. I think he might have been jogging through the neighborhood or something, and just with no shirt. And I was like,
oh man, looking good.
I just can't pull that look off, John. I can't.
It passed.
What was that? A lot of people in the neighborhood going, what the hell was that jogging past my house? Somebody shoot that.
Looked like a Greek god running by there.
No. a guy who ate a Greek god. That's
yeah, right. You know, so
yeah, we're gonna make an effort to kind of comb out there and see what we can do for Wednesday or Thursday. See if we can interview somebody.
Okay. See if we can get somebody. I'm good. Wednesday, I think.
One more time, I wanted to say express my gratitude towards Bradley Beal for helping make the Wizards a better ball club. Now the problem is as Grant Paulson said in an interview recently, he's a member of the 106.7 team radio team, and Danny Rugier. They're basically pointing out that they've just been mired in mediocrity. They're always middle of the pack. They're not the worst team in the NBA, but there's no way they're going to make it to the next level unless they strip all of this money and rebuild this team one brick at a time. And it's going to take about 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Because they did pick up some good draft picks in this trade with Bradley Beal. Chris Paul... Right. Maybe he'll come here and have a rebirth and play well. I don't know. He's been injured quite a bit.
Hmm.
And he's an older guy. And I love him. But when you get that kind of age on you, what we were just talking about earlier about LeBron James, you get older, your body's not going to respond the same way. It's just not. It's a fact.
It's the effect of years of gravity.
Well, don't anybody tell Tom Brady that, right?
Yeah.
Just...
I know, unaffected by gravity. That'll be his inscription on his tombstone.
He bought into the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, he did.
He's part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, okay.
Now,
well,
yeah.
Now he's going to be a businessman.
Good on him. Hey, good on him, man. That's
Well,
you got that kind of money.
He should have. If he saved any of it over all these years, he should be. In good shape, but
yeah. Oh, he's gonna be fine. He's a pitch guy,
and he's a smart guy.
Not speaking out of school when I say, occasionally I believe Peyton Manning might be a bit overexposed in terms of being a pitch man, because eventually he's gonna show up. If there's a bunch of sports people doing a pitch for a product, you can't do that now without calling Peyton Manning. He's everywhere. This guy is everywhere.
Yeah,
plus, I got to give him credit, him and his dad and his brother credit, and his older brother, Cooper, credit for developing a lot of young quarterbacks. They have a quarterback school.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah. The quarterbacks go there for, training for, I think, 2 weeks in the summertime. So they go and work on their footwork and their release. An interesting story developing in Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, number one pick a couple of years ago,
right,
who was sent to L.A., who played very well. for the Rams. He played extremely well. Tampa signed him to a 1-year deal, and the talk out of minicamp there is this: Baker is not talking to anyone. Baker is just, he wants to let his play do the talking, and he's changed his release point a little bit. He looks a little thinner, a little quicker. So we'll see. I mean, these guys are competitive guys. You can't just say, "Oh, that guy's a one-shot wonder, he's gone." Hey, look what happened to Geno Smith in Seattle. Everybody thought Geno Smith was a journeyman, was a backup, a perennial backup in football.
Right.
Kid goes out there to Seattle and just dominates last year, dominates the NFL in numbers.
Wow.
And the other thing I must say is, one thing that has become perfectly clear and somewhat amazing is, in an Angels uniform, a Los Angeles Angels uniform, Otani is his last name, Otani. Jose Otani. He is probably one of the better. He leads Major League Baseball in every pitching category and in every hitting category. And that is that hasn't happened in a very long time.
Back when Babe Ruth was a pitcher.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, it's kind of the guy goes out there and pitches six innings, and then they say, "Okay, we need you to step in and pinch hit." He steps in and smashes a home run. I mean, he just shuts some team down for six innings, and now they got to worry about him coming to the plate. I don't know how to pitch this guy. He hits everything.
Right. That's cool. That's very cool. What's his name again? What's the guy's name again?
Yeah, his last name is Otani.
Otani. Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was Japanese. Pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, it might be. They play a lot of baseball there, so, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. They are huge baseball fans. They have a great league there. The interesting thing is, I may have mentioned this before, and this is coming to America, is cricket. There is a professional cricket league in the United States now, which I think, and there's a team in D.C. There's going to be a cricket team.
I wonder if the West Virginia would host they probably don't.
I don't know.
You couldn't get anything going here, probably. But I would like to go out and learn how to play cricket. Although I might not be able to see the ball, that'd be a problem.
Well, here's the thing: is just you. I would put a mask over your glasses, have a helmet with like bifocal glass, so you can just zero in on everything. You'll be able to. Yeah, you're looking at the picture because you got to swing that cricket bat that looks like a paddle.
I know
that. One of my old teachers kept by her desk.
Did she? Of course. Yeah, right. Exactly. In case any of you guys get rowdy.
I don't think that was a design, that paddle for, I think it was designed by nuns,
of course,
1,000 years ago.
Yeah, right. A little extra dynamite.
Whack.
Yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah. You, young man. Bend over. Anyway. Of course, the nuns have got a bad rap, you know. I mean, from most ex-Catholics, they don't. They have a, or, I mean, I was yesterday. I was listening to, for example, to or last Friday, I was listening to, our friend Karen interview this Buddhist monk, you know, from Groundhog Day. He lives in Woodstock, Illinois.
The town where Groundhog Day was filmed.
Anyway, I was listening to him, I started to think, well, how would you actually, make an impact with something really new? Anyway, if I was playing cricket, I'm sure the ball would have to be about 3 feet from my face before I saw it. So
sure, yeah, that's it. Okay, we got special dispensation on this next batter age and blindness. Gonna have to step up a little bit before you throw the cricket ball at him. He can't even see you. He can't even see you. So
it just fades as things get more distant. That's all,
And I thought I would try to go a little while without my glasses the other day. Ooh, that was a bad thought. It was not.
Yeah,
because I put them on. I was like, oh man, I can't see shit. I'm blind, man. So to sum it up, in this country, there is a tendency to allow sports to dominate. And I get that, but I will say this. One of the more emotional things that I think anybody would see is the amazing response to Special Olympics this past. They opened up this past weekend, and when the athletes came out and got their standing ovation, it's just, they are truly, truly incredible. And there is a former athlete in the Special Olympics who's now part of the announcing crew, which yeah. I think is a very bold move and a brave move, and she's wonderful. Cool. That's great. Good on them, man. Because if you see them and then you see them participate in these activities, they are really, really classy sports people. You know what I mean?
What? No.
It's I think Dobie and I were talking about it at one point. When you want to face your opponent, you want to make sure they're at 100%. You know, so there's no excuses.
Right. All right. You didn't beat them because they were sick that day. Yeah, right.
Yeah. No. That's what all the Red Sox fans are freaking out about. Yeah. As soon as Aaron Judge comes back, we're going to get our ass kicked.
That's interesting. That's great. Hey, we're at 30 minutes if you wanted to.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I will say one more thing. The Nats, hang in there, Nats fans. There's a lot of potential on this team. They'll probably end up in last place in the division, and that's okay. But you can celebrate the fact that Keibert Ruiz is going to be here for a while. C.J. Abrams is going to just get better and better and better. I don't know about Dominic Smith. I don't know enough about him. I know Alex Call's a good ball player. I know we've got Josiah Gray on the mound. Mm-hmm. We've got Mackenzie Gore on the mound. These are two young pitchers who are finding their way. Transitioning from minor to major is a big deal. Generally, for the statistics, most pitchers don't really come into their own and pitch dominatingly until they're 26 or 27 years old. So
really,
there is that. So yeah, but the thing is they figure out who they are. You know, you can come up with just blasting speed and be like, well, I throw 102 mile an hour fastball, and people are like, okay, but can you do that for 7 to 8 innings?
Hmm. Yeah,
you know, some guys can, some guys can't. So
right, sure. No, I you know,
so John, again, thank you. I want to thank anybody out there, all the
sports
all the
fans
at sea, planes in the air and vehicles on the ground, and folks just wandering. We appreciate you tuning in to us. We will have a confirmed interview by this afternoon.
Okay.
And I will get that information to John as soon as possible.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for listening to enlightenedradio.org and the Sports and Comedy Attack. I'm Mike. Thanks.
All right. Take care. It's late, but everything comes next. See you later.
Nice. Bye.